Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesa from the Jewish Task Force, and we have a very special guest whom those of you on the forum already know, Ron from Israel. He's going to be discussing the issue of the war between Ukraine and Russia on this program. And we want Ron to come on the program and discuss it because, first of all, Ron was born in Israel. Baruch Hashem, he's a Tzabar. He was born in Israel. But his family originally came from Ukraine and Russia. He speaks Russian fluently, and he's very familiar with the history and very familiar with what's going on now in Ukraine. So we want to touch upon his expertise. And I urge people to go to the forum and read his posts. If you want to really know what's going on, read Ron's posts on the forum. And we're going to just briefly discuss with him on the program this week, what's going on. Welcome, Ron.
Hello, Chaim. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Ron, let's start off with speaking about what the Ukrainians did to the Jews. But first, I want to go to a question that was asked. I hope I can do this right. I hope that this is going to enable me to do this right. But there was a question here that was asked by Hirvatsky Noahide. And I'm going to quote the question. And he writes, and I quote, "As a Croat, I have tremendous pity and sympathy for my Ukrainian Slavic brothers. As a Noahide, I am obligated to save another person from bodily or life-threatening damage. Although you hate Ukrainians, do you admit they are engaged in a valid war of self-defense?" And I just want to very quickly answer that, Ron. No. Nazis have no rights. Under Torah law, under Jewish law, Nazis have zero rights. They have no right to self-defense. They have no right to exist. If they want to destroy Israel, those who want to destroy Israel, Nazis who want to destroy Israel, have no rights whatsoever. Those who are committed to the destruction of Israel have no rights. So that's something you should know. Also, as a Ben Noach, if you don't support Israel and the Jewish people, then you're not a true Ben Noach, and you can't be a true Ben Noach. In fact, Gentiles in general are cursed unless they bless Israel and support Israel. And sometimes there's a contradiction between what's happening with your country and with the people that you were taught you have to support and what's good for the Jews. A true Ben Noach chooses what's good for Israel and the Jews every time, because that's what Hashem chooses. That's what God chooses. That's what's most important to God. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. You're required to do what God commands us to do in the Bible. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Okay. Let me just say the Ukrainians murdered hundreds of thousands of innocent Jewish men, women, and children during the Holocaust with brutality and sadism that is indescribable, literally indescribable. Just in Babi Yar, one place, they forced the Jews to dig mass graves and buried 150,000 Jewish men, women, and children alive, buried them alive until they were choking on the soil and died under the soil where they were thrown into these huge pits and were choked to death by the soil as the Ukrainian and German Nazis together threw soil on them and buried them.
And then even post-World War II, the Ukrainians built a park over that soil. So instead of a cemetery, there was a park over it.
Yes, to show their and that's to show their contempt for the Jews and their hatred for the Jews. Ron, we've spoken about what the Ukrainians did during World War II and their vicious hatred of the Jewish people and their cruelty and sadism toward the Jewish people. But I want to ask you, because there are people who are contending that the grandchildren of these Nazis who did these terrible crimes, that their grandchildren are somehow different, and we can't blame the grandchildren. Are the Ukrainians still Nazis, Ron?
First of all, anti-Semitism, persecution of Jews, killing of Jews, isn't just a one-time thing that happened only during the Holocaust. It was a common pattern all throughout Ukrainian history. Even 400 years ago, the Ukrainians murdered dozens of thousands of Jews during the riots under the leader Bogdan Khmelnytsky, who is a national hero in Ukraine. There is a currency bill with his image even in today's Ukraine. He's a national hero. By the way, not only in Ukraine, but also in Russia. So it's really common for both of these nations. And Ukrainians murdered over 100,000 Jews in these massacres. And then last century, around 100 years ago, during the Russian Civil War, the murder of over 20,000 Jews. It was called the Holocaust before the Holocaust in these parts. And the leader responsible for this, for these massacres, Simon Petlura, is also a national hero in Ukraine. It was after he lost the Russian Civil War, he was exiled to Paris. And then, and there, a Jew called Shalom Schwarzbart assassinated him. And the French police arrested him. And during his trial, accounts of his brutality were heard, and the French anti-Semitic public and anti-Semitic court were horrified after they heard what he did. And Shalom was acquitted. So the level of the brutality horrified even the French anti-Semites. And both of these men, Bogdan Khmelnytsky and Simon Petlura, were national heroes who fought for Ukrainian independence. And just like Ukraine is trying to fight for independence now, so you know, even then, I bet there were Jews who said, "Oh, but Ukrainians, are only fighting for their independence, so we're gonna be on their side." No, the Ukrainians were always against the Jews. They were always anti-Semites, and we must never support them. So again, as I said, these two men were national heroes in Ukraine, and so is Stepan Bandera, who was the leader of the Ukrainian nationalist movement during World War II. He was an ally of the Germans, and then was an ally of the Soviets. And in both cases, he murdered Jews. He persecuted them. His brutality is well known, and to this day, he is a national hero in Ukraine, with statues of him erected in city squares and city streets named after him. It's not a matter of political opinion. He is a consensus in Ukraine, in both parts of Ukraine, both east and west, and there is no avoiding of that.
And you know, I think people should think very carefully about what Ron has just told us, because this would be like the Germans after the Holocaust erecting statues of Adolf Hitler in the middle of Berlin, in the middle of all the German cities, and declaring that Hitler was a national hero. This is the same thing. This is the same exact situation. Ron, I just want to mention one other thing about what the Ukrainian Nazis did during the Holocaust. The worst concentration camp guards, death camp guards, like Ivan the Terrible, were Ukrainian. The most brutal, the most sadistic, the most savage. Ivan the Terrible, who was Ukrainian again, he used to, now the Germans and the Ukrainians were pushing Jewish men, women, and children into ovens and gas chambers. He would grab Jewish women, and while they were stripped down naked, and he had a huge sword, and he would cut their breasts off before shoving them into the ovens and gas chambers, and would laugh, sadistically laugh, as he cut their breasts off, just to sadistically torture and torment them. Even the German Nazis, even the German SS, who were certainly the brutal beasts, but even they were stunned by the level of Ukrainian sadism and Jew hatred.
It needs to be said that the Jews in Ukraine, unlike in Poland and even in some Baltic states, there weren't any death camps in Ukraine. There weren't any concentration or death camps. So Jews were shot and killed on sight. There was no organizations there. We're just pure. It was just a pure orgy of murder. My grandmother's family in Odessa, they were almost all of them were either brought to the Germans or shot and murdered on site by the Ukrainians. My grandmother also had a friend whose family was in Moldova, and the Ukrainian brutality was so the Ukrainians were so brutal that her family asked the Germans for protection for these Ukrainians, because the Ukrainians were even more brutal and more cruel than the Germans.
The German Nazis you're talking about. This is during the Holocaust. The German Nazis.
They were both Nazis, so the only difference was their nationality.
And I want to ask one other question about you, because a claim is being made by Khervatsky that only 2% of Ukrainians vote for the Nazi party in Ukraine.
Bandera's legacy in Ukraine is consensus. He was awarded Hero of Ukraine award by the president of Ukraine 10 years ago. He was Poland made a law banning the Bandera ideology, and the former president of Ukraine Poroshenko went to a diplomatic war with it over it. He said it was unacceptable that Poland was banning the Bandera ideology, because the Bandera was such a vicious killer that he not only murdered many Jews, but he also killed many Poles. So these Ukrainians are known not only among the Jews of Ukraine, but also among the Poles who used to live there. And not only you also have the former prime minister who is a Holocaust revisionist, whose picture was taken when he was doing a Nazi salute during a rally in Kiev. Picture next to him was Vitaly Klitschko, who is now the mayor of Kiev. Again, both of them all of his characters are from the Ukrainian center. They're not so-called far right. They're the center of politics. And the mayor of Kiev, Vitaly Klitschko, he renamed the street leading to Babi Yar to the same site of mass murder of Jews committed by Ukrainians. He renamed it into Bandera Street. So these are all figures were the consensus of Ukrainian politics. They're not some far right movements. And people who say that are just not completely ignorant of our Ukrainian culture and of the Ukrainian state of mind.
Or they're deliberately trying to cover up for the Ukraine.
That's also possible,
right?
Because I've seen people. I've already seen people excusing support of Nazis, saying that they supported for other reasons. You know, like it's like saying that people support Hitler because he was a vegetarian or okay for the environment.
And Ron, people say, but the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, is a Jew.
The president of Ukraine is the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, is a self-hating Jew. Who is married to a non-Jewish woman. His children are Christian. He awarded a Hero of Ukraine award to a Nazi fighter from the Pravi Sektor organization, a neo-Nazi organization whose leader was marching in Kiev calling for the expulsion of all Jews. And he gave this award to a soldier from this organization. He is a couple. He's a self-hating traitor. And you know, it's not uncommon in history for anti-Semitic countries to elect Jewish leaders. You had Walter Rathenau in Germany, in the Weimar Republic right before the Holocaust. You had Leon Blum in France. You had Béla Kun in Hungary. All of them before the Holocaust. And Leon Blum was later sent by the same people who elected him. He was sent to Buchenwald. Walter Rathenau was murdered by the people who elected him. So it's not uncommon for anti-Semitic countries to elect self-hating Jewish leaders into power, and Ukraine is not even self-hating Jewish organizations like the ADL report on the high rates of anti-Semitism in Ukraine. Even the ADL says that half of the people in Ukraine, and again. And the ADL is known for minimizing anti-Semitism as much as possible. Even the ADL reports that half of the people of Ukraine are anti-Semites.
The same ADL survey that you referred to said that only 4% of Swedes have any anti-Semitic feelings. Only 4% of Swedes. 96% of Swedes all love the Jews. So you see how the ADL minimizes everything. And they say half of the Ukrainians have these they say the Ukraine is right at the top of the list with the worst level of anti-Semitism. The ADL says this. So, I mean, you have
to... So you can imagine how bluntly anti-Semitic the Ukrainians have to be for the ADL to acknowledge their anti-Semitism like that, or at least, you know, partially acknowledge it, because it's far more than just half of Ukrainians, far more.
And you know, I think it's almost all of them. I think almost all of them. And Ron, if people had grandparents who were Nazis and the grandchildren were different, if that was really true, they would say, "Oh, we're so ashamed of what our grandparents did. This was terrible. We have to support Israel and the Jews now after what they did, after what we did, after what our country did, all the Jewish blood that was spilled by our grandparents, all the innocent Jewish children and babies that we slaughtered brutally, savagely, sadistically. We have to make up for this by at least supporting Israel and the Jewish people as best we can." You can never really make up for it because the finality of murder is so terrible. But we have to do something at least to show that we're different from our grandparents. We have to support Israel. Does Ukraine, the Ukrainians support Israel now? The grandchildren of the Nazi war criminals?
The Ukrainians consistently vote against Israel in the UN. The Ukrainians recognize the so-called state of Palestine. The Ukrainians are as openly anti-Semitic today as they were back then. And you could also see the foreign minister of Ukraine as recently as yesterday said that Israel is making money soaked in Ukrainian blood. So you can see the same anti-Semitic pattern that they always said, that they're still behaving the same way they always did. They're just better at acting politically correct.
And the post that you put on the forum, Ron, you put a post on the forum where you show all of the anti-Israel resolutions and proposals that the Ukraine has supported. Those are proposals that there is no question call for the destruction of Israel. Israel will not be a Jewish state under those proposals. That's the end of the Israel. It's the end of the Jews. And this is the people whose grandparents murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews, and now they're proposing things that would lead to another Holocaust against 7 million Jews in Israel. We could fool ourselves all we want, Ron. And I just want to say. What a disgrace it is. What a disgrace it is that Chabad raised $12 million for Ukraine and for Ukrainian activities. And other Jewish organizations have raised millions to help the Ukrainians. You know, Ukrainian Americans, and there are many Ukrainian Americans, and some of them are very wealthy and very successful. Ukrainian Americans are not the main group giving to Ukraine. Jews are, the Jews that they murdered. They are the main donors to help the Ukrainians who murdered their people. The same Jews who did nothing when 6 million Jews were murdered. American Jews did nothing to save 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, but they're raising money and helping the Ukrainians who butchered the 6 million. Really, really shocking and unbelievable how disgusting. And you know, we in JTF want to give you an opportunity, Jews and righteous Gentiles, we want to give you an opportunity to do what's right, to support the Jews who are really worthy of our support and to help Israel at this critical time. That's what every Jew should be doing. Instead of giving to the Nazis who murdered us and dug mass pits in Babi Yar, we should be giving money to the Hilltop Youth who are trying to save Judea and Samaria and trying to prevent Israel from committing national suicide. That's what JTF does. Ron, is there anything you want to say about the Hilltop Youth?
The Hilltop Youth are the guarantee that another Holocaust like the ones committed against us by the Germans and by the Ukrainians and all of those filths won't happen again. And any Jew who has any knowledge of the current situation, of our history, and how Jewish apathy led to previous disasters in our history, knows that we must act and we must support the people who are acting to prevent another Holocaust, if you want to prevent one.
And I just want to add one other thing about Zelensky that, you know, Ron brought up the examples of the Germans and the French and other anti-Semites who later, just several years after they elected Jews as prime minister, foreign minister, just several years later, they murdered the Jews in the Holocaust. So putting a self-hating Jew like Zelensky in charge proves nothing. But I just want to add one other thing. The Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, and the Nazis supported Barack Hussein Obama for president in 2008 and in 2012. Now, the KKK, the Nazis, claimed that blacks are monkeys, are subhuman, and yet they supported for the presidency of the United States a black candidate because what did David Duke said, this would be the best thing for our organization. They all said it. They all said openly, this is the best thing to put a black in charge. They knew that it would be good for them. And so the fact that Nazis and anti-Semites sometimes want to put Jews in charge of things, that's no surprise. That's an old tactic that the worst Nazis and the worst barbarians in the world use over and over again. I just want to make that clear, and it's happened in America many times as well. By the way, David Duke and the KKK, who praise Hitler openly and openly call for another Holocaust, they also supported Joe Lieberman when he ran for vice president in 2000 for the same reason. They supported John Kerry because John Kerry's father, his name originally was Cohen, and he changed it. John Kerry is a Zelensky type self-hating, and even though he's not Jewish, but he's because his father has Jewish roots, he's another self-hater like Zelensky. And Duke and the Nazis supported these people and wanted these people in power. So this doesn't prove, on the contrary, the fact that they want to put self-hating Jews in charge who are against their own people further demonstrates their anti-Semitism. I want to read something, Ron, that was also on the forum. I want to go and read something that bothered me. Let's see here, from Hirvatsky. Hirvatsky started a new thread called the JTF German Club, where he says, this can be the place where we learn the German language. Please spare me the why learn German comments. If you don't want to learn, don't. Hirvatsky, are you trying to insult us? Are you trying to insult the memory of 6 million Jews by putting the language that was spoken by Hitler and by the Nazis who murdered 6 million of our people on this forum, by putting the language of the people who murdered three-fourths of my family in Poland on my father's side? Three-fourths of my family were brutally murdered? Are you trying to insult us by putting this on the site and then saying, please spare me the why learn German comments. If you don't want to learn, don't. Like you're showing contempt for Jews who say, wait a minute, these are the people who perpetrated the Holocaust. We don't forgive them and we don't forget and we're never going to forgive or forget. And we're not allowed to forgive or forget crimes like this. Are you showing contempt for us by doing this? What is this? Why the JTF German Club? What, are you kidding me? Are you trying to insult us? Why are you doing this? Anyway, just wanted to bring up that point. Ron, is there anything you want to say in conclusion? We have just a couple of minutes. If there's anything you want to say in conclusion, I'm so happy to have you on here, and I want to have you on in the future as well, of course, because you're very knowledgeable. And you just have a lot of facts and information. I hope that people, if they want more details, they really should look at the posts that you put up and the pictures that you put up. Any final comments, Ron?
First of all, thank you, Chaim. And I want to add that people must know that the best way, if they really want to help Jewish people, if they really want to secure the future of the Jewish people and the well-being of Jewish people and the existence of the state of Israel, they must support the Hilltop Youth. It really can't be stressed anymore. Its importance is well beyond what we can put in words.
And nobody's supporting them except for us. We're the only ones funding them outside of Israel. There's no organization that funds them. It's what a disgrace. What a disgrace. When you see that, you understand why there was a Holocaust. Why they got away with this, why they were able to get away with this, when you see the reaction. You have one group that can save Israel and nobody backs them? This is unbelievable insanity. Unbelievable insanity. Yes,
currently, we're in the minority, but all the Jewish movements, all the Jewish movements that change history were in the minority, all of them. They always started as a minority, but later changed history. So it really shouldn't frighten people that we're currently in the minority, because that's how it always starts, and we already made a lot of change. We will already make progress. So it's an investment that you can reap its fruits quite quickly.
I hope that people understand that Ron, by the way, I'm very proud to say, is our Israeli representative, by the way. He represents us in Israel and runs our movement in Israel. And I'm very proud to introduce him to you now through this program. I'm glad, and he's someone that we want to hear a lot more from in the future. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Juan.
Now, before we get to our questions from our great JTFers, I want to remind people that this program is dedicated to Erefuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Haramir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolat. And also, I want to remind people to support the Hilltop Youth. How do you support the Hilltop Youth? There are two ways you can do it. One is online. You just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and you'll see a big donate button in English on top. And you click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can very conveniently make a donation. You can make two types of donations online. You can make recurring donations where every month you give a certain set amount, or you can give a one-time donation. Whatever you choose, it's entirely up to you. Every contribution, every donation makes a difference. So please help the Hilltop Youth. And there is a second way. If you don't want to do it online, there's a second way, and that's through checks and money orders through the regular mail to our post office box. And the post office box address is JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. You'd make the check or money order out to JTF, and you send it to JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. And now let's go to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with our good friend Binyamin Yisrael, who says, one, obviously I know Elijah Muhammad and the mothership are completely different from the Bible. I meant, does the Nation of Islam's theology associate Elijah Muhammad with Eliyahu Hanavi? Eliyahu travels to every Jewish home on Pesach, while Elijah Muhammad is said to be on a spaceship. Does the Nation of Islam associate Elijah Muhammad with Eliyahu Hanavi? Unquote. I don't think that Elijah Muhammad and these morons in the Nation of Islam even know about Eliyahu Hanavi. I mean, they know that there was a prophet in the Bible called Elijah, maybe. But they don't know about him going to every Jewish home, and they don't know anything about those traditions. They have no idea. And Binyamin now writes, and I quote, to discuss the following blacks. Ketanji Brown Jackson. What a name. This is going to be on the Supreme Court. What a joke. What a name, what a joke. Affirmative action, inferior, low IQ, imbecile, anti-white, anti-black, anti-American, just scum. Scum! And picked only because of her race. And the next person on the list that Binyamin wants me to comment on is Aubrey Robinson. Oh, that was the judge, Yimach Shmo v'zichro, who sentenced the great Jewish hero Jonathan Pollard to life imprisonment and recommended that he never receive parole. And Jonathan Pollard sat in prison 30 years because of that. Jonathan Pollard helped the United States. He passed information over from the United States to Israel that Israel used to strike at Arab terrorist targets that were also aimed at the United States. Pollard helped. He should have gotten a medal for what he did. He helped America and he helped Israel. But this black Jew-hating beast who never would have sat on the court, who would still be wiping his tuchus with leaves in the jungle of Africa if not for the Jews, this jealous low-life pig sentenced him to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole or with a recommendation that he not receive parole. Binyamin now asks about O.J. Simpson. Oh, he was supposed to be, he did the Avis car commercials, and he was supposed to be the example of the good black, the nice black, the civilized black, the friendly, smiling black. He was the example. And look what he wound up doing, butchering two innocent people. What a low-life, vile piece of garbage. And then after he got acquitted for committing this atrocious crime, he should have been hanged for what he did to these two innocent people. After he got acquitted by black jurors and just jurors who were intimidated and or are intimidated or who agreed with him and supported him. They supported the murder that he committed. After that took place, he went out and he committed more robberies and committed more crimes. And now Benjamin asks about Mumia Abu Jumal. Mm-hmm. Mumia Abu Jumal is a black Muslim cop killer who murdered a white police officer and who has been on death row forever and, of course, is never going to be executed. Just a Muslim white-hating, Jew-hating, Nazi cop killer. And all of the self-hating whites and self-hating Jews and all the leftists support this piece of filth. Together with, by the way, in the black community, he's overwhelmingly supported. He's considered to be a hero for what he did. And next one is Trayvon Martin, another criminal who was turned into a hero because someone in self-defense shot him because he had a screwdriver. He was going to attack and kill this person. You know, sharpened screwdrivers are like knives. And he was going to attack and kill this person. And of course, the stolen jewelry, the drug use, the gang related activity, his whole history, all of that is ignored by the media. They turned him into a hero. George Floyd, another one who was a repeated drug pusher selling poison to children in his own community, his own people. And they turned him into a big hero. Thank you very much, Binyamin. And now we go to our friend Yamash Shmore Islam, who writes, and I quote, Techaim, why does Japan appear to be much cleaner than the U.S.? Look at filthy cities like Baltimore, New Orleans, Houston, or Detroit, for example. Yamash Shmore Islam, great question. What do Baltimore, New Orleans, Houston, and Detroit all have in common? They're infested with schwarzes who destroy everything they when they move in, they destroy neighborhoods and they create filth and create problems everywhere. Of course, Japan doesn't appear to be much cleaner. It is much cleaner. But you know something, Yamash Shmore Islam? If you want to see clean cities in the United States or clean towns in the United States, go to towns where you don't have schwarzes, where you don't have blacks and other people coming in, or they're very few. There you'll still see, believe it or not, you'll still see places where there's not graffiti all over the place with dirty language and gangs-related curses and filth all over the place. You could still see that in certain parts of the United States, but those parts are disappearing and shrinking and disappearing very quickly. Thank you, Yamash Shmore Islam. We now go to Nachus, who is our great, great friend. Nachus writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, are the magnificent hilltop youth a continuation of Dor HaHemshech? Yes, and unquote. Yes, Dor HaHemshech, which means the next generation, they were a precursor to the hilltop youth. They were, in effect, hilltop youth. Yes. Yes, Nachus. Very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And Nachus now writes, your take on the despicable book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, unquote. That's a book that was a czarist forgery. The Tsar of Russia forged a book to try to show that the Jews, that the elders of Zion are trying to take over and conquer the world. So it's one of these books which the Nazis, of course, use and all the anti-Semites use to show that the Jews are controlled. The Jews have control over the whole world and domination of the whole world. You know, and then they said the Jews are an inferior race. The Jews are untermenschen, are an inferior race. They said during the Holocaust, the Jews are inferior. This little people is going to take over, according to them, takes, which is nonsense. Of course, the Jews are not taking over the whole world. The whole thing is nonsense. But it's just so laughable. It's unbelievable. But it was a czarist forgery to incite and promote anti-Semitism and pogroms. Nachus now writes, please discuss these individuals. Adir Zik was, oh, what a wonderful man. Unfortunately, he passed away. He died of cancer. It's been about 15 years since he passed away and died of cancer. He was such a wonderful person, and he used to collect money for the Hilltop Youth. He was one of the people who led the campaign to establish the Hilltop Youth and to collect money for the Hilltop Youth. Thank God Adir Zik did that, because, again, if the Hilltop Youth weren't there now, we would lose everything. And Nachus now asks about John J. Blackjack Pershing. Nachus, I don't know anything about him. I just don't know anything about him. I'm sorry. I apologize, Nachus, but I just don't know anything about him. Nachus now writes, and Emma Lazarus. Emma Lazarus was a Sephardic Jewish woman who lived in the 19th century. 19th century means the 1800s. And she was very, very concerned about the plight of Jews in Eastern Europe and the pogroms. Unfortunately, the solution that she came up with, which is trying to bring the Jews to America to escape Russia and the Eastern European countries, was not a very good solution. The best solution was to work, just like with the Hilltop Youth today, in those days, the best solution was to work with those rabbis and others who were trying to create a Zionist movement to create a Jewish state. That was what they should have done. So I think she was a decent person, a moral person, but I think that she made a tragic mistake in thinking that she should bring the Jews to America, because in America, the Jews, we saw what happens to the Jews in America. They disappear. They intermarry. They assimilate. They disappear. They become self-hating. It's not the solution. The solution is for the Jews to go back to Israel. She, of course, Emma Lazarus, also, of course, wrote the famous inscription on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, and so on. So thank you, Nachus. And now we go to our friend Ram Sheva Sheva Efes. Ram is going to ask questions in Hebrew, which we're going to quickly translate. It's going to just take a couple of minutes. And Ram asks, and I quote, Shalom Chaim Hayakar, Mashlomcha. Ani be'ad ba'shloshim ve'echad be'merz la'asot mifkash be'mashova ha'germanit be'cheifa etzel ben Zion Gagula be'veit Chabad shelo. Ha'im ze efshari sheron meforum yiye kanatzig shelcha. Hu muzman besimcha lechefa, ve'agav chaverat haKnesset haMaksima Michal Valdiger mehaTzionut haDatit ve'ozeret haMaksima shela Yafit Shalcho lecha hoda'a b'mail ve'gam michtav לשרת הפנים איילת שקד, האם זה אפשרי שהן יהיו איתך בקשר לגבי סירוף העלייה שלך? שתי שאלות, אחת, מה דעתך על המזרחן דוקטור מרדכי קדר, אם היית מוכן לנהל איתו שיחה? שתיים, מה דעתך על רחבעם זאבי גנדי, השם יקום דמו, אם הוא היה ימין אמיתי באהבת ישראל, רם מאיר אברהם. אוקיי, רם, קודם כל, לגבי מפגש בחיפה עם רון, הבעיה זה שרון כל כך עסוק. אני לא יודע אם הוא יכול. הוא כל כך עסוק, לפעמים זה קשה לו, וזה הוא לא גר קרוב לחיפה, בכלל לא. אז אני לא יודע אם הוא יכול לעשות דבר כזה. לגבי חברת הכנסת והעוזרת שלה, בסדר, הם מנסים להתערב בשבילי, ואני מודה להן על זאת. לגבי דוקטור מרדכי קדר, כן, אנחנו יכולים אולי לנהל שיחה בעתיד. עכשיו אני עסוק, ורחבעם זאב גנדי לצערי גינה את מורנו ורבינו הרב כהנא זצ"ל, אז בשבילי מישהו שגינה בחריפות את מורנו ורבינו הרב כהנא, אני לא חושב שהוא היה ימין אמיתי. לדעתי לא. אני מודה לך רם, and I just told Ram in Hebrew about I answered his questions about the Knesset members and about his activities in Israel and a meeting that he wants to organize. Thank you, Ram. Ani modeh lecha, Ram. And now we go to our good friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of Biden's State of the Union address? Also, can you curse Chuck the Schmuck Schumer? He is the worst senator in New York State history. Thanks. Biden's State of the Union address was really an embarrassment. What a senile joke he is, and the priorities and the things that he wants to do are all bad for America and bad for the world. Terrible. He should rot, that beast, Shmuck Schumer. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. The lowest, most vile Judenrat capo imaginable. Vile. I thank you, Joe. And now we go to David Stein. I'm sorry, David 2, who writes, I'm still in Hebrew mode. David 2, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, my Ukrainian bank manager gloated that she hailed from the town of Khmelnytsky in the past and said so with a large grin on her face. Should I switch banks even though the fees will be higher elsewhere? Thanks. That's a decision you have to make. I don't think she owns the bank. If she owned the bank, I would say yes, but she works there. She's a bank manager. For people who don't know who Khmelnytsky was, I'm not pronouncing it right, of course, but because I don't speak Ukrainian or I don't speak the language of Cossacks, but this was a monster who murdered huge numbers of Jews. And she says she comes from the town and smiling. So in other words, she's gloating over the fact that Jews were murdered. It's a decision you have to make, David, but you know, if she just works there, what can I say? All the banks employ vicious anti-Semites. We can't do any business anywhere if we're going to, you know, I have banks, with Muslim and black employees. You don't think they're anti-Semites? What am I going to do? Every bank that I know everywhere near my house, every single bank in my house, near my house, and every single bank that I go to has this. I can't do any business with any banks if I do this. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, but a very good question, David. And I'm glad you think in those terms. Thank you. Now our friend Kalman Ben Menachem, another good friend of ours, writes, Chaim is Hasidism, Judaism. Thank you, Kalman Ben Menachem, unquote. I think there are aspects of it that are, and I think there are aspects of it that aren't. The Vilna Gaon, who was, I think, the greatest Torah scholar and Torah giant in modern Jewish history, said about 200 years ago that he thought it was not Judaism and that he thought it was a cult, a dangerous cult. And he said that we should boycott and put them in cherem. Cherem is excommunication. He was against Hasidism because of the fact that they worshiped their rebbes, and just many other aspects of it that he felt were harmful. And I think there are aspects that are harmful. One of the aspects is that they believe you can live outside of Israel, which you can't. You can't. If we now have a Jewish homeland, we now have the land of Israel, Jews are not allowed to enjoy the exile and live outside of Israel in the exile. The exile is a punishment. The galut is a punishment. We're not allowed to live outside of Israel. And that's just one of many examples. Also, the idolizing of the rebbes to the point where they claim the rebbe can never make a mistake and is absolutely perfect. They create Jewish popes. So I think that's problematic. But there are other aspects where, like the Chabad, for instance, does bring Jews closer to Judaism in some cases. You know, so yes and no is what I would say. Thank you, Kalman. And we go now to Chabad Kahanis, who writes, and I quote, do you think that this war between Russia and Ukraine is a blessing in disguise because the whole world is now focused on the Russians and for the moment not bothering us in Israel, but the Arabs that call themselves Palestinians, unquote? Yeah, I think that is true. I think that when things like this happen and it takes attention away from the world pressuring the Jews to commit suicide, I do think that's a positive. I think that is positive. I agree with you. There are other aspects to the war that are very negative and that are very dangerous. But I agree with you that if they get the world to stop focusing on Israel to get Israel to commit suicide, I think that is a positive, one of the positive aspects to all of this. Thank you, Chabad Kahanis. And now the great Kahana was right. BT writes, and I quote, Chaim, why isn't the world screaming for Ukraine to give up land for peace to Russia? Shouldn't they be pressured to stop the violence, come to some deal and hand over Luhansk, etc., for the sake of peace with Putin and prevent World War III or nuclear war? If Ukraine votes for fakestinians in the UN, then Israel should be demanding the same from them, unquote. What a great point. Fantastic. Absolutely great point. How come nobody says to Ukraine, hey, for the sake of peace, land for peace, land for peace, like they always say to little Israel. By the way, I'm all for land for peace. I want the Arabs to give up everything from the Nile to the Euphrates and give it to Israel. But instead, they go to little Israel little Israel, the Arabs have 630 times plus more land than the Jews. And the Arabs, not only the Arabs not asked to give up anything, little Israel is asked to give up everything. So, you know, it's an outrage, of course. And with Ukraine, I agree with you that that would be good to ask them to give up, because the Ukrainians demand that Israel surrender everything, the Ukrainian anti-Semites that all the sick Jews support. Thank you very much. Kahana was right. And now we go to Kahana Will Always Be Right, who writes, and I quote, comment on the following, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos was the richest man in the world. I don't know if he still is, but they say he's worth $100 billion or $150 billion. You know, a billionaire, a billionaire, who's counting? Unbelievable how wealthy and powerful this evil monster is, who owns the Washington Nazi Post, a newspaper that's just as evil as the New York Nazi Times. Jeff Bezos is a very evil, arrogant, despicable individual in every way. And companies like Amazon, you know, are monopolies that destroy competition and that actually create problems in the end for the economy. The next person on the list that Connor will always be right wants me to comment on is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, I don't know, am I saying it right? Elon Musk? I hope so. My pronunciation today is really off, so I hope people will forgive me for that. Elon Musk is, of course, is the one with the electric cars, and I want electric cars. His plan to create electric cars, that I agree with, because if we have electric cars and people are charging up electric cars and not using gas, that means less gas and oil for Iran and the Arab countries and the Muslim countries that want to destroy us with jihad, and for evil countries like Russia, who make the world dependent on their oil and gas. I'm all for it. If we can replace 40% of the energy that the United States uses is for gasoline for cars, 40% is just to gasoline for cars and trucks and motor vehicles. If we can eliminate that and have people driving electric cars, that would be great. But Elon Musk, aside from that, says a lot of weird and crazy things. And I think he wanted to go to outer space and travel in outer space. I mean, a lot of weird and crazy things in his background. And yet he's so wealthy and so powerful. Connor will always be right now. Asks about Bill Gates. Oh, what a disgusting animal. I remember everything he does is evil, Bill Gates. Evil, pure evil. And his monopoly. You know, his Microsoft monopoly is an outrage. You're forced to take it if you have a computer. Terrible. And one of the things that Bill Gates, I remember one of the things he did is he announced he's donating $1 billion, billion with a B, $1 billion to give blacks computers, only blacks, free computers. Imagine if someone said, I'm donating $1 billion to give computers only to white people. Can you imagine what the reaction would be? But if you're racist against whites and racist against Jews and racist against Asians, it's acceptable. And Bill Gates is scum, scum. And the final person on the list is Warren Buffett, another arrogant, evil, multi-billionaire, disgusting individual in every way. You know, these arrogant, egotistical people who control and manipulate the economy and create so much tragedy in the world are horrible, cursed people. And, you know, they will face a very serious punishment in the next world, no doubt about it, because in the next world there is midah keneged midah, measure for measure justice. Thank you. Kahana will always be right. And now we go to Zera Yisrael Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, on the forum, why was the hidden user feature created? I'm embarrassed to say, Zera Yisrael Kahanist, I don't even know what that is. Hidden user, that means that you can be a hidden user? I didn't even know that. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I mean, I didn't create the forum. I didn't do the software and create the forum. And, you know, so I just don't know the answer. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you, Zera Yisrael Kahanist. And now we go to the great Mishmat, who writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of Sigmund Freud? Sigmund Freud was another self-hating Jew. Another one who, you know, in the 1930s, when Hitler took power in Nazi Germany, and we had Kristallnacht, and we had all the beginnings, and Hitler was openly saying in the Reichstag that he was going to exterminate the Jews, that there won't be Jews, won't be laughing anywhere, and won't live anywhere, openly saying he's going to exterminate the entire Jewish people, openly proclaiming this. While this was taking place, you know what Sigmund Freud was doing? I mean, instead of working against these monsters that want to exterminate his people and that are such a threat to his people, he was writing books attacking Judaism and attacking the Torah. Books like Moses and Monotheism, where he said that Moses, there were two, there was more than one Moses, and just crazy, ridiculous books. He was a militant atheist. He was very anti-religious. He said that everything in life is related to sex. Everything in life is related to sex, which is absurd, absurd. There's no question sex is a very strong driving force in people's lives. But, you know, it's not even the strongest. The strongest for most people, for some people, it is the strongest. There are people who are sex addicts. But for most people, it's not the strongest. The strongest is money and materialism, according to Chazal, according to the rabbis. And then sex is the second strongest, and so on. And there are other rabbis who say it's ego, and it's even sex and money, and all of that is really connected to ego. But whatever. But to say that the only thing people ever really care about is sex, and subconsciously everything we do is sex, it has to do with sex, is just insane. He was just obsessed with it in an insane way. So I think he was a self-hating Jew and a terrible person who, in the darkest hour for the Jewish people right before the Holocaust, he was spending time knocking and tearing down Judaism and attacking the Jewish people that were about to be shipped to Auschwitz. He was attacking Jews and Judaism. Thank you, Mishmat. And I want to thank everybody for another program that we very much enjoyed doing. And let me see where I am here. Okay. We need your help and we need your support. And I think we've proven with the Hilltop Youth, we have proven in the past half year that we, even with $200,000, we've changed things on the ground for them. But we need to change a lot more if we're going to save Israel and win. We've got to change a lot more, and everybody has got to help us. All Jews and righteous Gentiles should be part of this battle. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.